Hello friends from the internet and welcome back to Alili. How are you guys? I'm testing my new microphone for the podcast. So now we have a pro microphone. It's so cool. No more thingies from the iPhone. So maybe you will hear me better. And yes, we are another week, another episode. Well, if you have seen my Instagram, you know what I'm gonna talk about today. We're gonna talk about the great movie that is The Fantastic Mr. Fox by Wes Anderson. Love that movie. So, we're gonna talk about a little bit of information about the movie, and then I will give you some cool insights about how the puppets were made. And this is really nice because it was all stop motion. And finally, the best part, fun facts. So go get your coffee, your tea, your water, whatever you drink, whatever you do, go to the sofa, run, walk, whatever you do when you're listening to the podcast, and let's start. This is the story of Mr. Fox and his wild ways of hen-hinkling, turkey-taking, and cider-sipping, nocturnal instinctive adventures. He has to put his wild days behind him and do what fathers do best, be responsible. He's too rebellious, he's too wild, he's going to try just one more raid on the three nastiest, meanest farmers that are Walter Boggis, Nathan Bones, and Franklin Bean. It is a tale of crossing the line of family responsibilities and midnight adventure and the friendship and awakenings of this country life that is inhabited by the fantastic Mr. Fox and his friends. Okay, so this movie was created by the great Wes Anderson, as you may know, and this was the first full stop-motion movie of the director. Well, as you know, he really loves to use stop-motion on other live-action films, but for this precise movie, he decided to just go with full stop-motion. Everything is puppets, everything is really artistic on that sense, and I will tell you a little bit more about that, what I mean with that artistic thing. It looks kind of like rough, but it's nice looking, it's whimsy, it's cute, you know, but it's at the same time dark and melancholic. The movie is based on a children's book. So the children's book is called Fantastic Mr. Fox, and it's written by Roald Dahl. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's a British author, and it was published in 1970. And so the director, Wes Anderson, is a huge fan of Dahl, and he wanted to take this story to the big screen in a different way that people have done before. So he tried to do it with the stop motion, and he obviously gave a little bit of liberties on the story, but he kept the main facts the same as the story that had in the book. So one great thing that Wes Anderson did for this movie is he decided to go to the stop motion part and use puppets, but he didn't want to use really stylized puppet that is flawless without anything. He really wanted to get the effect of the stop motion. So if the animators move the puppet, they will have finger marks on the little piece and the little creature. So these things were not hidden at the end in the movie. It was like part of the charm that Wes Anderson wanted to do. He originally went into this movie directing with Henry Selick. As you know now, Henry Selick was the director of Coraline and some other great stop-motion movies like The Nightmare Before Christmas. And he also contributed on the Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou on Wes Anderson's movie. But eventually, Selick had left for the work on Coraline because it was probably at the same time. But we still see a little bit of his imprint on the movie. We see a little bit of hints of like Henry Selick was here on this kind of directing things. But yeah, so like that was the big thing, the huge boost for the stop motion things. Also, as you know, Wes Anderson always gets really big actors on his movies because they're great. I'm finding like maybe the actors are like, let's go there. It's really interesting, this type of movie, and it's like different from what they do normally. So the big actors here playing is George Clooney as the Fantastic Mr. Fox, Meryl Streep plays Mrs. Fox, and he has other persons like Bill Murray, Jason Schwartzman, and he's kind of like the staple people from Wes Anderson movies, Willem Dafoe, Owen Wilson, and Adrien Brody. They're all there. And it's really cool. And we have Michael Gambon that gives the villainous Mr. Bean voice, and some other great actors in it. And of course, we cannot have a Wes Anderson movie without the great compositor Alexandre Desplat. He already did other scores for the Wes Anderson movies, like The Grand Hotel Budapest, and he had his imprint on this one as well. We love this compositor, it's really great, and we know that he goes really well into the projects that Wes Anderson has. The great thing about this movie, about this story, is like it's a children's book, but we can see like the twist of Wes Anderson in it, and we can see how he wants to portray these moral things on the movie, like kind of like what we were saying before on the plot, that Mr. Fox has to be responsible now because he has a family, he has everyone depending on him, and he now has to change his rebellious personality to someone more calm and be like, what are the pros and cons that will go if I do this? This is great because we see a lot of storytelling inside this beautiful story, and we have also the great dispute, we will say, between Ash and his cousin, and like we can see that Ash is trying to stand out because he wants to be recognized by his father, but his father thinks that he's reckless and we will say stupid, but he doesn't acknowledge his own son. And when he comes, his cousin is great in everything, and he gets acknowledged by his dad. Then we will have Ash having jealousy things with his cousin and be like, oh, why are you doing this? And also because he's better at everything and he gets acknowledged by the dad, but also gets the girl that Ash wants. So it's a huge issue. But like we can see the moral things that Wes Anderson always likes to portray on his movies. And this is really great done. When the story goes on, we can see that Mr. Fox changes his ways. He acknowledges that all that he's doing wrong, all that the stuff that he's not acknowledging from his son is really like making him be reckless and be like someone that is not really good. And just because he's not doing like the responsibility of being a father, he messed up his son. So he's really like changing during the story, and then at the end we can see it like a clear form or change. It's because like Mr. Fox is always afraid of wolves, and towards the end he sees a wolf for the first time and he raises a paw to him and he raises a paw back, and it's like, okay, I don't have to be this way and I don't have to have this fear and this doubt. And he acknowledged that he knows that he has to change, and that's kind of like a pinpoint moment to say Mr. Fox is changing and is getting better. Okay, let's discuss a little bit more the information on the movie. So the movie started in 2004 on the Revolution Studios, and apparently these studios went bankrupt in 2007, so the movie had to move the studio and went to 20th Century Fox in London that year. And it was released at the end in 2009. The movie is 1 hour and 28 minutes, and it was really great. It's like perfect length, and it gets the message across. And for a stop-motion movie, I think it's perfect. So the budget for the movie was $40 million, and at the box office when it was released, it went off to 46.471023 dollars. Sorry, I cannot read like numbers, I'm really bad at it. And it has become not only a financial success, but it went to be a cult classic and one of the favorite movies for Wes Anderson fans. It really has this gypsy indie vibes that Wes Anderson always portrays on his movies, but on this one it was really clear, it was really there. So one of the best things that he has done. For the movie, they have a staff of 140 people that work every day and did a lot of attention to details because, you know, it's Wes Anderson, we need to have all the details on point. And it developed 126 different sets, guys, and over 4,000 gypsy style inspired props. 4,000 props, people, is like a lot of things. So one of the big things about the puppets that was challenging for the production is because they have different scenes where you have close-ups onto the puppet and then some other that are wide shots. If you know a little bit about this, like normally you cannot have just one puppet and use that everywhere, because like sometimes maybe you need like a really detailed puppet for the close-ups so that it looks way better on close-up than on wide shots. If it is a wide shot, you can be like, okay, you will not see this little speck of dust that is going in his hair, you know, something like that. But like for that purpose, they produce like 6 different puppet sizes. So for the full shots, they use puppets that were 2 inches tall and 12 inches articulated puppets for the close-ups. You can see the difference on the wide shot puppets and the close-up ones. For Mr. Fox, it took 7 months alone just to get the first model. Normally, in the puppet world, they will create a clay model to just show to the director and say, hey, do you like this? And then if he likes it, they can produce the puppet afterwards. But then, yeah, like it took just 7 months to just have the character design of Mr. Fox. For the movie, in total, there were 535 puppets made, including changing costumes. So that's amazing. Because if you see, the costumes on these puppets are amazing. They are really cute. They're really well done. I will go more into it when we talk about more on death on the puppets. So one of the great things about the movie that we said before is that you have a really handmade quality to it. So we see the defaults. We don't see that everything's perfect. Everything's like so smooth. No, we see the fingerprints. We see different techniques, different ways of portraying some stuff. For example, the great thing about thinking like, oh, we're gonna do smoke using cotton. So like all the smoke coming from the places on the scenes were all cotton things, and you just move them around. So that's a great thing to do, is not adding special effects, like visual effects. So it gives a more handcrafted feeling. And one cool thing that I just like saw in an article is that the voice recording was also super detailed. So if there was a scene where they were outside, well, the dialogue was recorded outside so that you get all the sound from the exterior, you know, so that it's not like that super perfect and sleek sound. Now, let's talk a little bit about how the puppets were made. So the puppets were made in the Great Puppet Production Factory. If you know about it, I talked about it a little bit on The Corpse Bride. Well, it's a little production that just does stop-motion puppets, and it's really well-renowned on the stop-motion productions, and it's one of the best. So it's based in Manchester, and Ian McKinnon and Peter Sanders were the ones that created all this. They also created the puppets for Nick Park's Chicken Run, the Tim Burton's The Corpse Bride that I just said, and the Coraline of Hair and Silic. So you know that these people are meant to be business. When they got approached by Wes Anderson, Peter Sanders said, Wes had a very clear idea of what he wanted, and I think he made us challenge all our preconceptions about what stop motion puppets are. I think the fact that he hadn't worked a great deal in stop motion pushed us out of our comfort zone, which forced us to try new ideas, new techniques, and new materials. So that's the big thing, because they were requested these puppets that were not like super sleek and smooth and perfect like in the Coraline or the Corpse Bride. They're really well done and they don't have not a fault in it. So Wes Anderson really wanted the puppets to be like handmade. We looked at them and we're like, okay, this is a stop motion puppet from like the beginning. So like if you see the first stop motion shorts or movies when they are all clay or all the stuff like that, or plastiline, you can see when they move them, is not always smooth. It's always like having different bumps and dumps that are like done by the hand because you move them with your hand. So like every time you touch them, it gets deformed in a way. So yeah, that's great to have it on this big movie. Another great thing that Wes Anderson chose to do to get this handcrafted feeling was to shoot the movie in twos. So what it means is that normally movies are shot in 24 frames per second. So like the movement is fluid. Movement is always like normal and organic. But he decided to do it on 12 frames per second, which is more... So it's more robotic, it's less fluid, and we see more like that quality of the first stop motion movies and stuff like that. So that's a great choice. For the character design, the characters were designed by Felicie Heimos, a Belgian character designer. This artist was telling that what Anderson said to him that he wanted Mr. Fox to be a combination of Roald Dahl, Rex Harrison, George Clooney, who's the one that is voicing him in the movie, and a stuffed fox. I love that he said a stuffed fox, because when you see the puppets, when you see the actual furry puppets, you will compare them to that, to a stuffed fox that was killed so many years ago and like kind of like semi-dead. So isn't it funny that he just decided to go that route? But it really paid off. In an interview with Heimos, the character designer, he said, "Sometimes it took a while to figure out exactly what Wes wanted. For example, for the rat, we just picked the first one I did. It just came out right. But for others, such as Petey, took a long time. At some point, everything was right except for the glasses. We took pictures of all the people in the studios who were wearing glasses and sent them to Wes." So like all the character design was not 100% easy, and there were some characters that were like, okay, that is great, and there were other characters that they wanted to be looking more like realistic. So how do we look naive but realistic at the same time? So it was hard for all the and how many characters there were. I think it was 40 characters on the movie, and so like everyone had 15 drawings each. That's insane. So one great thing about the puppets is that the main animal puppets were 12 inches tall, and mainly because they had a lot of close-ups, and the human characters were slightly smaller, but it's because they don't share much screen time. They don't have a lot of scenes. When we see them, it's not really important, so like it's not that interesting to have a 12-inch tall character human that you will not see. So let's talk about the steps that takes to do a puppet. What I said before, you first mold the character you sculpted in clay. Then whenever you have all the designs right and everyone is happy with it, you stop modifying that and you will create molds. I don't know if you have watched Face Off or VFX makeup, but you can see this kind of process as well there. So with the clay that you already placed and all the design is well made and everything, you will have to do an epoxy resin mold, and that will create, well, the mold itself. And with that, you will create later the puppet, the final puppet. But the thing with that is when you start creating the mold, you will get like all your sculpt destroyed, because well, it gets stuck into this thing and then you have to clean it up. After the mold is made, then they create a foam latex that is poured out in the mold, and then this will dry out, and when you take it out, you will have the exact shape that you had on your sculpt, hopefully, if all the details were there. Not like you will have to do some slight changes. This latex looks more like skin because it's kind of like translucent. It's great for creating skin. And all this is only for creating the skin. And they also have to create the mechanisms inside. So what we said before on the Corpse Bride, all the puppets from stop motion, they have to have a rig. So it's kind of like a skeleton that is made of metal and other materials. And this will allow the puppet to move and articulate all the joints and everything. So they will have to create that before doing the mold, the translucent mold with the latex. Here is where we see what we talked about on the Corpse Bride. So the puppets on the Corpse Bride were life-changing for the stop-motion productions. And after that, they created like a lot of characters like this. So on the Fantastic Mr. Fox, they decided to use the same technique. So like you have all the joints on the normal skeleton, but on the head, to make the expressions work, you will have some mechanisms that will be activated by tiny keys inside the head, and these keys are hidden within the puppet, so it's only the animator that knows where they are and how to move them, so that you get that range of expressions on his face. That's amazing. It changed a lot, because before, what I said is that they used to do like different kinds of heads with different expressions to be combined and be changing all the time. In this way, you will have just the puppet just changing yourself in each shot. You will not have to have like 100 puppets to just do one expression. And the final part for the puppets is, once the skull and armature were finished, they were treated to be rust proof so that the metallic parts will not rust over time. Some puppets will have additional materials to be wrapped around their joints so that will be more flexible when moving. So after that, the structures were then enclosed along with the foam latex or silicone inside the mold, which was baked for 3 hours at 195 degrees Fahrenheit. It's like 90 degrees Celsius. The cooking part is the more dangerous part. It could break everything. But then if everything went right, the puppet would come out perfectly, and it would just need to have slight details at the end, like the coloring, putting the eyes and all the other stylized things. And that was it, to create the puppet. And one big thing that McKinnon and Saunders said that were concerned, because normally they didn't have this kind of puppet request, but Anderson really wanted the animals to have real fur. If you see Chicken Run or stuff like that, normally chickens have like feathers, but the puppets were just made of clay. So you understand that they have these feathers kind of sculpted in, but you will not have real feathers and like real fur on it. And this was kind of like the first time they did this for the puppet makers. So it was a really intricate work, and it was rather difficult. But apparently they used some fur from puppets and stuff like that, wigs and everything. And they even cut pieces of hair from people that will have color that they wanted. Just put it on the puppet itself. It's fun. Why not? So the fur was made of artificial fur, plucked off toys, and some human hair, maybe, about like studio employees, and then some real goat's hair. And then they were used to dye it and everything so that it gets the color that they want. But why, you may ask, they were so concerned about putting fur on a puppet? Well, the thing is, when you move the puppet, you will move the fur because you have to touch it all the time. So when you are animating, the fur will be moving twitchy and everything. It's like not ideal for the movement that you want on your movie. But Anderson really liked that aspect of it, and the animators were really talented with it, because they realized that if the character was in a hold position, that just slowly by blowing on the fur or touching it ever so slightly will make a nice ripple effect. So it will be like a breeze coming through the fur of the character. And it has a quite beautiful quality to it on the movie. So at the end, the fur was a great choice. How do you apply the hair, you may ask? So normally the fur was glued to a specific skin latex thing. So the skin was pre-made, as we said before, And then they will create another layer. There is another latex thing, but it was just for adding the fur, and that will be stretched over the puppet. But in the intricate areas, like around the eyes or around the face, the nose and everything, the fur had to go in a specific direction. It had to have more detail. So in those areas, they did place the hair by hand, like each strand of hair, boom, 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 placed. Such a tedious work, but it's beautiful at the end. So what McKinnon said, especially if you had a character like Mr. Fox for whom you had to do 15 to 20 head skins, it was driving people crazy towards the end. So imagine, just tedious work to do all these heads. And then finally, when you have all this done, you had to create the costume designs that will have the Wes Anderson aspect. Like, he will have his imprint on these beautiful costumes that were made. And especially for the Fantastic Mr. Fox suit. So Mr. Fox suit was actually made from the corduroy of one of Anderson's signature clothes. McKinnon said he sent us his trousers so we could match the corduroy. He said that he wanted Mr. Fox to wear a yellow corduroy suit, the sort of suit you see on any man walking down the street in Paris. It was beautiful. Why do you think he was just walking in Paris and he just sees his own suit and says, this will be great for my character, my puppet. And so you have a little touch of Anderson on this beautiful puppet. Amazing. Now, guys, let's talk about something fun, like fun facts. First fun fact, the CGI was used for only one scene. You know that CGI now, it's really affordable and studios really use it because it's cheaper to use like practical effects, and sometimes that backfires. It doesn't go well, but like for Wes Anderson's movie, they just use it in a scene which the Flint mine was flooded. The rest of the movie was entirely produced with practical effects, so stop motion and puppetry and props and everything. This is the only CGI thing. Fun fact number two! Kris Kristofferson was named after the actor. One of the most memorable characters of the movie is the cousin of Ash, so Mr. Fox's nephew, that is Kristofferson. And so they were saying that Kristofferson's original character created for the movie with Wes Anderson and Noah Baumbach, naming the character after singer Kris Kristofferson. Kristofferson, of course, was Whistler in the original Blade movies starring Wesley Snipes. Amazing! Didn't know this. Fun fact number three! Did you know that Tim Burton was attached to the project at one point? Yes, so apparently the Mr. Fox production, Fantastic Mr. Fox production, took a long time and they were searching for a variety of directors, and at some point before Wes Anderson arrived, Tim Burton was on the production, but he left afterwards. But yeah, so like, he was at some point going to direct it. That would be really weird. It would be like a different type of movie. Also, coincidentally, many of the animators who work on The Corpse Bride work also on Fantastic Mr. Fox. Fun fact number four. Some scenes were recorded outdoors. So yes, like I said before, when they were recording the voices, the actors had to move around the sets to have more of a natural feeling to it. So if there was an outdoor scene for the characters, then they will record the voices outside as well, so that they will be authentic. And also, for the attic scenes, they will say to the cast to record their lines in an attic. That's really like cool. So many details. Fun fact number five. Fantastic Mr. Fox was Wes Anderson's first book. You know that I said before, the movie was based on Roald Dahl's children's book. And apparently Wes Anderson, the first book he owned was this one. So it was kind of like a destiny thing that he was meant to direct this movie. Amazing! Six fun facts. One of the characters is modeled after Doll. The directors and the story writers decided to just not only be inspired by the story of the author, but like also the author himself. So they use a lot of his mannerisms on, for example, Mr. Fox, in the way he walked or the way he leaned over the tree and everything. But also, apparently, there was a character that used a lot of his facial characteristics, and we can see that it was really inspired by him. I think it will be the one that, I don't know his name, it's not Mr. Bean, it's the tall one. I think he has the apple liquor thing. 7 and final fun fact. For the movie, Anderson used the original ending in the manuscript of the book. As you know, Anderson was really inspired by the book and the original story, but because they were doing this adaptation, they got hands on the original manuscript of the story of the book. So like on this original manuscript, it's not like original story that is in the book, it's way more stuff, way more ideas. So they decided to use the ending that is on the original manuscript and not the one on the book. But it's still written by Roald Dahl. This idea was great because no one who had seen this ending if they were not being adapted to the movie. Well, friends, that's pretty much it for today's episode. Hope you like it. Hope you enjoyed my fantastic Mr. Fox. I don't know, every time I try to say this title, I get my tongue like tighter. Watch this movie. It's amazing. It is on Disney Plus. As I said before, most of his movies are on Disney Plus. So if you are a Wes Anderson fan or if you like other movies from him, you can find them right there. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. We're always here for you. And we are going to start next week on the holiday movies. Most certainly, I will stop the season on Christmas week. Don't worry. I will let you know when it will stop the podcast and when it will come back. But don't worry, before I'm going on holidays, I will get to use some nice movies to watch for Christmas. So if you want to follow us in Instagram, we are at Alleli Movie Podcast. Search us on your Instagram searcher. Or if you want, we have the link on the webpage of the podcast and also in the description of the episode of the podcast. You can click there and it will go directly to my beautiful Instagram page. I share reels every day about cool insights on the movies that I'm watching or that I have watched. And I will give you also movie recommendations, so go tune up there. Thank you so much for listening and see you next week! Bye, friends!